You are listening to WCPL 95.5 FM. We now begin Tune In to Life, a live event from the Firehouse Youth Ministry of the First Baptist Church of Merritt Island. Here now to lead this event is Student Ministry Pastor Rob Jones.
Hey y'all, welcome to Tune Into Life. I hope you guys are finding your homes well and you're enjoying some fellowship as you're there. First thing I want to ask you to do is just look at whoever is your host at your host home and give them a huge thank you, maybe even a hug, and say thank you for letting us hang out at your house tonight and enjoy each other's company. First of all, I got a couple announcements for you just so that you're staying up to date on what we're doing at Firehouse. Next Wednesday, we will be back at Firehouse. Junior high will be at 6 o'clock and senior high will be at 7, so make sure you come on out and hang out with us at the Firehouse. We'll be back on campus next week. Also, snowpack, if you guys are going skiing with us on our Bible study retreat, we need $25 from you from the first payment and another $25 no later than October 8th for you to still go with us. We have almost 80 people on the trip and spots are closing up quick, so if you want to go, make sure Megan gets $50 from you ASAP so that you can join us on that trip. Also, you're thinking, hey, we got all these trips going on and we need some money. We've come up with a cool way for you to make some money to go on your trips. We're doing a student ministry auction. And so if you need to raise money for these trips, get in touch with Megan and she'll let you know all the details to go on any of the trips that we're doing, whether it be ski trip or Guatemala or Jubilation. We'd love for you to help us out to raise some money so that people can join us on these different trips we got going on. Finally, you might have missed the Guatemala meeting we had this last Sunday. If you're planning on going to either spring or summer Guatemala, let us know. There's still time to sign up, but get information and registration from Megan ASAP so that you can join us on one of these mission trips to Guatemala. Well, tonight I got a couple questions for you. I want to see who's out there listening. So I'm going to give you a phone number right now. If you're at one of our host homes, we want you just to call in and give us a little information about what's going on at your party tonight and who's joining you and what kind of fun you're having. So the number is 455-6741. 455-6741. So if you want to just give us a call, the first thing I want to know from you, if you call in, and we'll take the first caller that calls, who has the sweetest party going on? We want to know what kind of awesome stuff's going on at your house. If you think your party's the coolest, give us a call and let us know at 455-6741.
Hello.
All right, you are on the air with us. What's going on?
Hi.
Oh, my God, I'm on the radio.
You're on the radio. Who is this?
Hey, people out there. Hey, Mom.
What's going on at your party, y'all? It sounds like you're having a blast, but we can't really hear exactly what's happening, so you keep having a lot of fun. Let me get somebody else on the air here. My next question for you, if you want to call in, is this. Who's got the best food at your party? We want to hear what kind of grub you're eating. If you're eating something delicious, give us a call. 455-6741.
639-693-1424.
All right, you're on the air with us. What kind of food you got going on there?
Hi.
Hi, who is this?
Oh, it's Dustin.
Hey, Dustin, what's up, buddy? What are you guys eating over there?
Peanut butter M&M's.
Peanut butter M&M's are pretty awesome. That's pretty cool. You think you got the best party going on right now?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in, man. All right, I'm going to get one more call here. I want to know, we're going to start to get into our study on Jonah. And before we jump in, I got some questions. If somebody can call in and just give me a little bit of information on what Jonah's been doing in this book up to this point. So catch us up to date on Jonah. All right, you are live on the air with us. What's going on?
Okay, so he was going to Nineveh, and
that's right. He was going to Nineveh, and where did he go instead?
He goes the opposite way to like Spain.
Yeah, to a place called Tarshish, which is over in Spain. Who is this calling, by the way? Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in. Anybody else? Let's see. Let's get another caller on the air. Give us some more updates on where we're at in our story with Jonah tonight. Anybody else? It's 455-6741. We got somebody on the air here, and Sierra is here with us. Sierra, what's been going on in our story with Jonah?
We have
You guys have wings. That's good. But the question is, give me a little background on Jonah up to this point.
Mercy,
yeah, we've seen some awesome mercy on Jonah's part that God's giving to Jonah, a disobedient guy who ran from God, and God looked down and gave him forgiveness when he didn't deserve it. Thank you for calling in, Sierra. We got somebody else here that's calling in, so we're going to take this next caller. Can you give me a little bit of background on Jonah? Who is
what?
This?
Oh, crap.
Yeah, you made it on the air. What's your name? I didn't get that. Say it one more time. All right, cool. Can you give me a little background on what we've seen with Jonah? We've seen a big God of mercy forgive Jonah. What else?
He's a runaway prophet.
Yeah, he's the runaway prophet. Everybody's hearing you right now. Good answer. You got it right. If you're listening, give a big applause to whoever that was that just called in. All right. We're going to go ahead and get going with our study now. So if you guys will open up, we're going to finish up Jonah tonight. It's our last in the series, and we're in Jonah chapter 4. So as you're sitting around with your life groups, why don't you guys all open your Bibles together and look at Jonah 4 with us. As you're opening there, I just wanted to let you know, tonight, just before I came over to the radio station, as you guys were all getting together in your houses with your wings and your pizza, I got a phone call. Actually, Justin got a phone call, and it was Derek Sawyer. Derek, I don't know if you're listening right now, but Derek is currently stuck in the mud out in North Merritt Island, and he called just before we headed over here and said, "Hey, guys, I need someone to come pull me out." And I said, "Derek, bro, it's Wednesday night. It's right before Firehouse. And we got our big launch tonight for life groups. What are you doing in the mud?" And he said, "Bro, Rob, I need you guys to come pull me out. There's nobody around that can do it." So we all jump in. Scott takes his Jeep, and we jump in my truck, and we head out to find Derek. And the further out we go, the more we realize that he is almost underwater in his Jeep out there, just sitting in the water, having a good old time by himself in the mosquitoes. And I'll tell you, as we went out there, man, my heart was not... It was not totally saying, "Hey, let's go pull Derek out of the mud. This is so exciting." My heart was more like, "I can't believe we got to go pull Derek out of the mud. What was he thinking?" And I noticed something about my own heart that might be similar to what Jonah was going through this book. That is, God called Jonah to go do something, his heart might not have been totally into it. It could have seemed kind of like me being grumpy as I was going to help Derek. By the way, Derek's still out in the mud. We couldn't pull him out. Derek, we love you, buddy, and we're coming for you right after Firehouse. We promise. But Jonah was kind of the same way. His heart wasn't necessarily in it. And God's saying, "Jonah, I have a big job for you. You're my prophet. You're the man I've chosen to go do this." And Jonah's heart said, "No, God, the people of Nineveh are evil. The people of Nineveh have destroyed my people. They've hurt my people. I want Nineveh to be destroyed so that my people don't have to worry about this people group anymore." And so as God deals with Jonah tonight, we're going to see a really important lesson in Jonah's life. You see, we know a lot about the big fish and Jonah getting thrown off a boat and finally prays to God and he's delivered. We all know that part of the story. We tell that part of the story a lot. But where we're at tonight actually is where the real lesson shows up. You see, we like all of it up until now, because this is where Jonah gets taught a lesson that will change his life forever. And so look with me in Jonah chapter 4. I'm going to read it to you guys. If you got your Bibles back in your houses right now, read along with me. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live.' And the Lord said, 'Do you do well to be angry?' Jonah went out of the city, and he sat at the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you didn't labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who don't know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Now, as we look at the heart of Jonah tonight in this passage, and we end the story of Jonah here, we're seeing a lesson that God's teaching him about a heart problem that he has. We've seen him run from God when God clearly was sending him to a place to do his bidding. And Jonah said, "No, I'm turning, I'm going the other way, God." And now we see Jonah, he repents as he's in the belly of the fish. And it seems like Jonah's finally understood, like he's finally got it. And then all of a sudden, as God does send him to Nineveh and he obeys and he goes, we see this heart problem well up in Jonah once again. As he looks at this people, as he marches into the city and he preaches to them, "God will destroy you," he sees repentance in their heart. He sees them put on sackcloth and ashes and cry out mightily to their God. And he thinks, "Why? God, why would you allow them to repent? Why would you be merciful to this people who have done such atrocities, who have killed people, who love murder, who embrace sin and evil? Why would you be forgiving to them?" And here in this first part, we finally get a glimpse into Jonah's heart. We finally get to see why he really ran. When he says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." He was angry that they repented. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country?" You can picture Jonah standing there in Jerusalem waiting, and God is sending him out. And Jonah, already in his heart, as he gets this call from God, says, "No, Lord, no, because I know what you're about to do. I know that you're sending me to preach destruction to them, but you're too merciful." Look what Jonah says next. He says, "That's why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. That's why I took off, God. I ran the other direction. I tried to get away from you because I was so mad at you that you would send me to bring this message to a people who deserve to be destroyed." And he says, "For I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." So often we get a picture of God, he's up in the heavens and he's looking down at people and he's slamming people and he's crushing them and knocking them down as they sin. And we have this distorted picture of who God truly is, that he's a God sitting looking down at his precious creation, his children, the ones that he loves with all of his heart. He loves enough to send his only son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, in your place tonight. And the story of Jonah reminds us of this merciful God, a God who looks at our sin, and even while we're sinning, he dies for us. He loves us. He's patient with us. And as Jonah knows this about his own God, he misses the whole point because his heart has a problem. His heart is focused on himself. Look at verse 3. It says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than live." At this moment, he's basically looking at God saying, "If you're not going to kill them, these Ninevites, then kill me." It's almost an ultimatum he's handing to God saying, "It's them or me. You said they were going to be destroyed, then it would be better for me then just to die. You made me look like a fool in front of these people, God. And I knew you were going to do it because I knew who you were. I'm a Jew. I was raised to know who you are." Back in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, we see that the Israelites knew clearly who this God was, and they taught it. It's something Jonah would have learned. It says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." You hear those words of mercy that the Israelites taught to their children and their children's children, all the way to where Jonah is sitting here and knew this so well. long before God ever called him to go do this, to preach this message to the Ninevites, he knew his God was merciful. Do you know your God's merciful tonight? Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know his forgiveness that he can have for you? That your life might be marred with sin and you may be in a place tonight of brokenness. But God is good and God is patient. And it says that God is long-suffering and so full of love that he's willing to pour it out on you tonight. And so my question tonight is, are you willing to let him? Would you give your life and your heart over to Jesus to say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. It's only through Christ alone that I can be saved and forgiven by this awesome God. Unfortunately, Jonah wasn't in that spot. Jonah turned from the runaway prophet, and he kind of turns into the angry prophet. And the Lord asks him that question. He says, Jonah, is it good for you to be angry? Like, what right do you have to be angry in this spot? I'm the one who does the work. I'm just sending you out to do a mission. In verses 5 and 6, we see that Jonah goes to this city, outside of the city, and he sits up on a hill. And he looks down at the city, and he builds himself this booth for shade. His whole objective in doing that is to watch. Maybe God will destroy them, he thinks. And he sits up there hoping to see a show, hoping to see the fire and the lights as God rains down and destroys this city. Jonah's hoping for their death, hoping for their destruction. His heart is totally out of joint with the heart of God. You see, God's anger towards sin is an anger that draws people to salvation. It's a holy anger that calls them out of sin to repentance, to forgiveness. And here's Jonah as he sits up on this hill and he looks down over these people hoping to see destruction. That's not the same anger that God has. And so the Lord wants to teach him a lesson. He sends this plant and it grows up over Jonah as he sits there. And Jonah's happy for a while. It actually says he was exceedingly glad because of this plant. It cooled him off. It gave him shade. Over the night, God sends this worm, and as he wakes up the next morning, the worm had eaten the plant, and it withered. All of a sudden, God sends this scorching east wind and a beating sun that made Jonah so hot, he was about to faint. And as he sat there, he thought of his plant, and he thought how good it was as he had it, and then why would God take it from him? Why would God destroy this plant when it was doing such good things for Jonah as it kept him cool and benefited him? And God looks at him again and says, why are you angry? Jonah says, Lord, it's better for me to die than to live. This is the second time that he says, you know what? My life is just so miserable, God. I'm your prophet, and yet I look like a fool. These people, if they live today, could live on to destroy my people, the Israelites. Why don't you just stop wasting time and destroy them now? And so as he sat on that hill, he was hoping to see the vengeance of God. But God was merciful, and God was good, and he didn't destroy the people. He actually looks down at their repentance, and he honors it. And God's two questions to Jonah about his anger points out Jonah's very heart problem that he has in this passage. The first one we see is his selfishness. He thought about himself. I want to look like a good prophet. I want to have this cool plant keeping me cool over me, protecting me from the sun and the scorching wind. Me, me, me. I'm at the center of this, God. So often we can find ourselves at the center of God's plans and think it's all about us. God, what are you doing for me? God, how do I look better in this situation? How do I benefit from your plans? Instead of saying, Lord, whatever your plan is, I just want you to be glorified. I want to honor you and love people well. And that's Jonah's second problem with his heart tonight. First was selfishness, but then we see his lack of love. He didn't love these people. He was obeying God and he was doing the mission. But just like I drove out to help Derek, I didn't have necessarily the right heart as I went because I was thinking about getting back. Jonah didn't go with the right heart. Jonah went just because he was trying to obey, but didn't truly love the people that God loved. And so as he was here preaching this message, he did it with anger in his heart. He lacked love for other people. You know, sometimes as we try to live this Christian life, it can be easy for us to just try to follow rules, to just try to do and live a life that looks like Christianity, but the true heart of God isn't in us. is sometimes we replace that with selfishness, and we lack the love for other people to want to see them know our God, so that they know His mercy, so that they experience His forgiveness. Do you tonight have people on your heart that you love dearly, that you want to know that they have experienced the love of Christ, and you're willing to say, God, use me, speak through me as your prophet to these people, my family, my friends, people that I've met recently, whoever it might be that you have placed in my life, God, help me love them well. Help me desire that they know your forgiveness, and help me live it out. At the end of the passage, we see that God keeps talking to Jonah. It says in verse 9, but God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And Jonah says, yes, I do. I'm very angry. I'm angry enough to die, God. And God kind of corrects Jonah. And in a moment of teaching him a lesson, he says, you pity this plant? Jonah, you didn't make the plant grow. You didn't water it. You didn't feed it. You didn't give it life. I did those things. So why are you so upset when I decided to take it away? And he says, you are more upset about a plant than people, than souls. Y'all, that can be my heart so often, that sometimes I get so focused on things or events or just circumstances in life that it distracts me from the most important things. Loving my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving other people. Are there things that you tend to put in front of your God? Are there things that you tend to make priority over loving other people with the heart of Christ? And see, Jonah's sitting there in that spot tonight. Those are his heart problems tonight. And he says that, Jonah, listen, I pity Nineveh because I created them, because they're my human beings that I've brought into existence and I've grown. And yes, they might be in sin, but I love them with a deep love, with patience, with mercy. And there's nothing that joys my heart more than to see them turn back to me, Jonah. Jonah, why don't you share my heart? And so God teaches Jonah this real life lesson about making souls of men a priority in his life. If you're to be my prophet, Jonah, you can't just preach anger. You need to know that repentance comes as people experience the love and the forgiveness and the mercy of God. Now, this great city was full of people. It said that there were 120,000 people there. And as God looked down to them and saw their repentance, what a crazy contradiction he must have seen between them praying effective prayers to him and then looking at his prophet, the man who should have known God better, who was sitting there sulking on a hillside, upset about his life, telling God, I'd rather lose my life right now, when he should have been the man leading out. He should have been the man that God had prepared to teach these people love and repentance. What if Jonah had taken advantage of this awesome opportunity to instruct these people, to lead them to know Christ better through this moment of repentance in their life? Are there people in your life that God is calling you to? Are there people that He's calling you to disciple, to love, to pour into? I challenge you tonight as you think about the people that God has placed all around you, the schools He might have you in or the sports teams that He might have you playing on, the families that He might have you have been born into and be a part of, and think about the people that need Jesus. How can you be God's witness to those people? How can you demonstrate a heart of true love and repentance and forgiveness? How can you show them how much their Creator loves them? I challenge you tonight to think about those people, to pray for those people, to ask God to open up opportunities for you to be able to speak into their lives, that you would take advantage of every moment that He gives you to be His light to a dark world. Will the souls of men be a priority for you? Will the people around you be a priority for you? You see, this book is titled after the name of Jonah, but the book is truly about God. It tells us all about His mercy, all about His patience, His second chances, His forgiveness, His love, His power, His total control over everything, His desire to teach, His pursuit, of those that he loves and his plan of salvation. This book is full of awesome attributes that we see about our Creator who loves us. Are your priorities God and others? Are you concerned for souls of men? Tonight, as you meet in your groups and your host homes, I ask that you would talk about that. Go over those questions. Be honest with one another. Pray and lift each other up. If your heart tonight isn't for other people, it doesn't beat after God, I pray that you would look at one another and pray over each other and ask God to do that work in you. Ask God to do that in the work of the person sitting next to you in your prayer circle tonight. That he would do something big in us. That he would move our hearts to compassion and love for other people. And to make us radically in love with his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as you meet, enjoy your time of fellowship. Pray together. Love each other and lift each other up for the sake of the gospel. I love you guys, and I hope you have a great night throughout the rest of your night tonight. I hope this gives you some things to talk about as you get together with your groups. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you later on.